Hello, everyone. My name is Mark Gailey, and I am your DM. I've been playing D&D for about 3 years. I've only played 5th edition. I've been DMing for just a little over a year, just this campaign. I've done some one-shots, and then, of course, this campaign that we're running. And I would love to introduce our players. This is Brock Timbers.
Hey, my name is David Blondin, and I'll be playing Brock Timbers. Gnome Bard. Brock stands about 4 feet tall, a little tall for a gnome, with a dark complexion and almost jet black hair. At level 5, he equips himself with a magical sword that sings when he wishes it through the air, and a lute gifted to him by a forest spirit. Brock Timbers grew up on the road in a caravan, so he's never really had a home per se. The road was always his home. At age 18, he went on his walkabout, which typically takes about a year or so. And Brock Timbers is currently on his 10th year of his walkabout. He is most of the time in company of his best friend, Edson. And that's Brock Timbers.
And introducing Edson.
Hi, I'm Ryan O'Connor. I've been playing D&D for about 10 years now, since 3.5. Done 3.5. I started actually with 4E, went to 3.5, then went to 5E. So I've been playing for a few years, and I've never actually played a paladin until this time. And I'm playing Edson, our party's paladin. He was a servant of Bahamut, but basically got banished for something he doesn't even remember. When he was at a bar one night, he got tricked into a fight with someone he wasn't ready to fight by his best friend, Brock Timbers. But he doesn't quite remember that because he got a good swift hit to the head. And now he's just stumbling along. He's slowly regaining his memories, but over this much time, he's made some good friends and he's okay with whatever happened in the past. But he's still trying to figure out what's going on with him because his Holy Smite doesn't really have radiant energy behind it. But it does now have a crackling lightning due to a benevolent pseudo-deity helping me out, being like a meteor, basically helping in Bahamut's absence. I've got an axe that's always hungry, and by that I mean literally actually hungry. And it speaks to me about needing to eat at all times. I've got a glove that charges, and due to that pseudo-deity, I can make it into whatever element I want, but I can only do it once a day. So, or once per combat. But yeah.
And introducing Kelmar.
Hey everybody, my name is Tommy Stenrose, and I will be playing the Water Genasi Druid, Kelmar.
Kelmar's family originated in the city of Kalimsham. The city broke up. It's been run by Genasi for hundreds of years, and it broke up about 5 generations. His mother had always told him about the powers of the Genasi, and strangely, they didn't have any, his parents, but Kelmar seems to have lots of hidden talents that he is still discovering from within. He loves the water. About 10 years ago, his closest family member passed and left him and only him to carry on his family's name. And so he's been living by the water, taking sailor jobs and living by the sea for the past, and he's always been told that the water will lead you to where you need to be.
So he's 6'1", has blue skin. He weighs about 185 pounds. He also wields, he wields a scimitar, and he also likes to throw ice knives when he is not using his shapeshift to transform into a giant bear. Kelmar has two best friends, you could say. Their names are Xander and Zonder, one of them being a lovable, bouncy, bumbling giant eagle, the other one being a very intense and detail-oriented giant eagle.
And now introducing Shane.
Hi, my name is Tommy Gray. I play the character Shane. He right now is hiding his real name because he uses an original design from his family, which is appears to be the world's first firearm. So I play a fighter variant. It's a gunslinger, and I technically have just one magical item. I guess you could count the gun as a magical item. My gunslinger stands 6'1". He's thin, maybe like 185 pounds, 175 pounds. Long trench coat, pretty much exactly what you'd imagine. And it's about it. He keeps everything really close to the vest. His real name is Deshane. It's not very clever, but he's not too worried about that. But his name has... He's not extremely famous, but it might ring a bell here or there. So he just tries to keep it on the down low.
So, we begin our story in a small town of Greenness, southern Sword Coast, where four adventurers, Edson, Brock, Ilaria, and Navi, arrive in Greenness at night. But they do not arrive to this town of villagers, farmers, and merchants. They arrive to fire, raid, and a blue dragon. Our adventurers make their way into the city, help out villagers, and infiltrate and defend the city. After defending the city and finding out who was behind this, was the Cult of the Dragon. After tracking the Cult of the Dragon, they led themselves to find themselves into caves southern of the city. These caves, they infiltrated and got inside of the cave and defeated a half-dragon, blue half-dragon, named Cyanrath. It was a deadly battle. After dealing with Cyanrath, they had an opportunity to meet the Lady in Purple. The Lady in Purple unfortunately escaped, but while they were inside the cave, they did discover two dragon eggs, which they quickly removed. After running into the Cult of the Dragon and finding possibly a purpose in something that may lead them to their to all their own individual answers, they traveled to the city of Elturel, just north of Greenness, where they met two allies, at least they think so, out of Leosa and Onthar Frum. Onthar Frum is part of the Order of the Gauntlets. Leosin is part of the Harpers. The adventurers were interested in joining basically the Order of the Gauntlet, Etzen, and Brock was joining Harpers. Unfortunately, with other leads and as well as information, Ilaria and Navi had their paths head north, away from where Brock and Etzen were, and they departed the party. After getting hired on with the Order of the Gauntlet and the Harpers, Brock and Edson had the opportunity to meet Shane. After getting their assignments of being told to follow the Cult of the Dragon, track where they're going, where are they leading all this treasure and gold that they've been collecting, they had their travels lead them to Baldur's Gate, the legendary city off the coast. During their travels, heading over to Baldur's Gate, they were attempted assassinations multiple times, with discovering that there was a bounty put on Edson and Brock's head. After finding this information out and searching a little bit deeper into Baldur's Gate, they're able to find the location of who or what is trying to kill them. With tracking them back down the river, they are able to find out that the lady in purple was indeed the one that had the bounty on their head. Mondath was her name. She looked like she was working for the Cult of the Dragon, and she was one of the higher-ups. After defeating Mondath, taking her head, showing the proof, and getting that bounty off their heads, they traveled back to Baldur's Gate, where they had an opportunity to go into Mordecai's Tower, a legendary tower that's been there for hundreds of years, supposedly run by a wizard that is just as old as Baldur's Gate. Traveling through the towers, they went through many trials, difficult trials, almost in different realms, just to travel up this tower. But after through many trials and many difficulties, they had an opportunity to meet Mordecai. And Mordecai made them aware that they are part of a larger scale, larger scheme. That it was by chance and by perfect timing that you have all met and came here together. And in particular, he knew what they were after and what they were doing, and informed them the Cult of the Dragon were not just collecting gold and being bandits, but they were attempting to summon Tiamat. With that, he gave them a task of collecting elemental stones, 5 elemental stones, the 5 colors that match Tiamat's heads. These stones will be necessary for them to be able to seal Tiamat, so that there is no chance that the Cult of the Dragon can succeed. With their plans intact, as well as their grander scheme in mind, they then again went back on the road to follow the Cult of the Dragon north. A large caravan, collected of, give or take, 15 to 20 wagons, Edson, Brock, and Shane all got themselves hired on as security. Undercover, of course. Don't want the Cult to know what they're doing. While on the road, Brock and Shane did a excellent work of infiltrating a couple of the wagons to figure out who's who, what's what, and what are they carrying. Brock is able to identify a few of the wagons are for sure Cult of the Dragon. Farther up the road, as they are passing one of the rivers, a large bandit group attacked the entire caravan. During this battle, a lot of people lost their lives, as well as many bandits lost their lives. They came to believe it was a rescue, but after getting smashed with a tidal wave, a man on top of 2 large eagles came down to fight and defeat these bandits. This was Kelmar. After a long-fought battle, Brock, Edson, as well as Shane, welcomed Kelmar after realizing that he wasn't sure who was the bandit and who were the good people. With hearing what Brock and Edson are currently dealing with, Kelmar, with his Genasi powers as well as his connection to the water, he's been feeling this disturbance. He felt as though he needed to follow you. He needed to see what else could be coming up. As you guys travel more farther north, just before the forest ends, before we arrive in Daggerford, you guys had an opportunity to run into a golden fleece deer. Stag, should I say. Many of the travelers in the wagon wanted to chase after it, kill it, collect its fur, and pay good money for it. Edson, Brock, and Kelmar all pursued. They used their powers, their ingenuity, and smarts to be able to ward everyone else away so that they would be the only claimer of the bounty. When they arrived and met the gold-fleeced stag, the gold-fleeced stag spoke to them in a almost magical place. And they had one very important message for them, that they are on the right path, and not all will survive. So on this, you're going to be rolling 7 rolls, essentially, for encounters for that time. And basically, if we run into any encounters, they will come up when they come up. But can I actually have the first roll of the day? Can someone roll me a
d4?
I'm on it. Not in.
I'm on it.
Everyone's doing it.
3.
I actually said not in.
Okay, you got a 3? Excellent. Yep. Good. You guys can roll on the encounters then. I need 7 d20 rolls. You guys can each roll. I'll have, since I cannot see Tommy Gray, you'll roll 1 d20, but Dave, Stenros, and Ryan, go ahead and roll 2 d20s and give me the numbers, just the raw numbers.
All right, well, not the worst, but kind of bad. Mark, I got a 13 and a 7.
13, 7, okay.
A what?
A 13 and a 7.
I got a 15 and a 7.
I got a nat 1 and a nat 20.
Woo!
Ryan does what Ryan does best. He either miserably misses or excellently hits.
I got a 14.
Okay, so I believe in chat... Yeah, we still have the map of Sword Coast. So if you guys wanted to open up that map, for example, I can give you a general idea of where we're at and where we're about to be. So you guys are essentially where the T is on the tradeway, just south of Daggerford. And you're about 7 days away, basically, to getting to Daggerford. You guys are on a road out of the forest area. So should be relatively peaceful as you guys are heading up that way.
Which T?
That's true. On the trade word.
The trade or
the... No, dang it, trade.
Okay, got it.
English is hard.
Yes, well, especially when one of them is the word is the, I'd be like, yeah, the trade.
Yeah. You guys actually get through pretty easily. I believe that, Tommy, you wanted to work on a lifting mechanic, essentially, for your goggles.
Yeah, just to put a hinge on them so I can...
For sure. Give me just a tinker roll with proficiency. So it's basically just d20 plus proficiency.
So, 18.
Okay, give me one more.
22. Roll a 19.
You finished your hinge.
Hey! All right, cool.
Yeah. It took 2 days to finish it, but you are completed and you have a hinge now, a mechanic. You can decide on how it works. You can either have it kind of like go overlap the eyes, or you can essentially have it where basically like you just kind of like rotate it and it kind of like lifts the lens up, or however you want to have it designed.
Cool.
Dave, as well, Kelmar, Brock, and Edson, do you guys want to have anything done for the 7 day period?
I think we'd spend the time on his armor.
Correct.
Sounds good to me. Are you guys all three kind of working together on it?
Yeah. You could use my smithing tools on it.
Sure thing. Let me make sure because I still have everything here. That was this note, I believe.
So whenever we... stop for the night, if I didn't use any spells, I would use the highest spell available to, pump the magic in while they're, smithing it or working on it.
Definitely.
Likewise.
Same.
Alright, so for just basically...
All level 2 spells.
Woo! Okay, so, and that's good. The spells will obviously help with you guys, but then it's also just a little bit of the cost of the materials of the regions that you guys are going to be using as well. So how many days in a row do you guys want to do it? Because keep in mind, obviously, like I mentioned, I think it was 2 sessions or 1 session ago, for every time you do it, basically, it's about 25 gold for you guys basically to kind of focus in on it and use material to be able to cast these spells.
Right, and so, obviously in a meta fashion, how long is it going to take us to do this?
If you guys are absolutely perfect with your rolls, you guys can get it done in 5 days. All three of you guys.
Okay.
I mean, perfect by there. They have to roll 20s?
They have to roll pretty much better than 20.
Right, but so what are we rolling? What skills?
So, if I remember right, I made a note of that, because it's actually, I think it's Arcana. Pretty sure
Yeah.
I made notes for.
Okay, and I believe your Arcana's better, right, Tom?
I have +5, yeah.
Yeah, okay, so enhance ability yourself with intellect.
That's right, what are we doing here? Should I do the same to help, or?
Yeah, so it's basically up to you guys on how you want to do this, because if three people do it, you can essentially get the job done faster. If two people do it, and then say one person does the help action to kind of assist him, you guys will have less like magic being put into the item, but basically he has more opportunities to be successful, essentially, because you're going to have an advantage with the help action. Dave also has inspiration he can give to you, everybody.
Right, which every night I would give you guys some inspiration. And in fact, gentlemen, I have a new one, and this is going to be when we're sitting around working on stuff and you need a little inspiration. This is going to be the one I'm going to be singing to you guys. Well, I say sing,
But what I should actually say...
God, I hope it's not a rap.
When I spit fire. You don't even know what you desire until you hear it from my lips and my lyre. Motherfuckers be bardically inspired.
So, do I take a negative D8 now to that?
Only if you're not my friends.
Everyone instantly falls asleep.
I thought you did a good job, Dave. Fuck these haters.
We're gonna have Arcana checks. This is basically like the first night, essentially, after we finished the elk stuff. So I'm not gonna like apply any of the inspirations or spells you guys did use that time, just to kind of expedite this, to kind of get things going.
All right. So what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna cast Enhance Ability on myself for. I'm gonna get Fox Cunning, which is gives me advantage on intelligence checks.
Very nice. Okay.
Yep. And then from that, I get a plus D8 from Dave's Inspire, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't know if Brock wants to give me guidance as well.
I do not have that.
Oh, okay. So I'll roll a D20 twice and a D8.
Correct. And then plus whatever your arcane, arcana check it. Bonuses.
All right, so it's a 15, a 4 plus 5 is going to be a 24 on the first one.
Excellent.
Figure we do this for all of them.
So that's the question. So you guys basically, you guys have all that bonus. If David also rolls, he can roll bad and he can roll good. It just depends on how he rolls. This will expedite the amount of time is required basically for you guys to finish this item. So basically, if you guys rolled all perfect, all doing it together, you guys can get it done in 5 days. So it's kind of
right.
Like all three of you will roll all three arcana checks, all you guys spending the 25 gold per night basically to kind of put it all into it.
So I'd use enhance ability on Fox Cunning.
Okay.
On me or you?
I can only do it on myself.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Brock's kind of left of the wolves here because he's like, he's giving out inspiration. So he's like, oh, well, I guess I'll just kind of wing it here, guys.
No, I got me a plus 3 to Arcana. So
I can enhance ability for him. I have another one.
I think it's concentration, though. So that's the only thing is that, yeah because it's concentration, you wouldn't be able to apply it to both of you. Only one of you guys could take advantage of it when you guys are all working on the armor piece.
Yeah, it's fine. I'll be fine.
Yeah, and the thing is, if you and Edson both roll really well, that will still increase how much you guys.
All right, so Tom did his. I'll do mine. I got a 13.
Okay.
And I'll roll mine with a strong plus 0 dark.
But with advantage.
And also roll that
D8.
Add a D8. And I'll add the D8. That'll be a 22 with the D8.
Hey. So maybe I just cast Enhance Ability on Dave.
To help you there, Kelmar, you need to get 20 or higher, basically, for it to matter.
Got it, okay.
So yeah, getting anything between, basically, from 10 to 19, it's all the same.
Okay.
But anything 20 and above, that's what makes the difference.
That's what we're aiming for. Mm-hmm. Cool.
All right, so that's the first day. Second day, so we can just kind of get this all mashed out. And also D8.
Great. That was a 13 even with the D8.
Hey, there we go. Okay. Okay, day 3. Just keep it rolling, guys.
Yep. Awesome. Much better. So I got a 21 on that one.
Fucking crushing it. What if I get like over 30?
I mean, if you get over 30, sure. Tell me if you get over 30.
I rolled a 19 and then another 8 plus 5.
Yeah, that'd be over 30.
Yeah.
Say, tell me that whole ass number.
32.
If we get to combat today, Tom, I guarantee you I will hit something for over 30. I guarantee it. I guarantee it.
I'm gonna roll jack shit for damage. I'm
Well, it's not, I'm rolling two dice. I'm still rolling like a single digit on one of them. I just happened to get a 18 on that last one.
Cool. Edson, what was yours on the third day?
I got a 24 in total.
Yay!
There you go. Alright, let me get a kind of progress. Give me a second. Give me a second to do math.
Hey, you have third level spells, right?
I do.
Enhance ability. When you cast a spell using a spell slot of third level or higher, you can target one additional creature. So go ahead, let's both roll with advantage. Fuck Mark's table. Ah, shit, I rolled garbage.
You butt.
Yeah, I rolled an 8 and a 6. So, an 11 is my total.
Total?
Yep.
11 is.
Bro!
8 and a 6? What do you want from me?
All right, Kelmar and Edson both with advantage and plus the D8.
All right, so I got a 13 on my D20 plus an 8. It's 21 plus 5 would be 26.
Oh, damn, you rolled an 8?
Yeah.
That's good.
Well, I rolled a 13 and a 1, also, so...
Yep.
All right, Edson, what do you got?
By night 4, I think Edson would be like, Brock, you're like, you've been rapping the same thing for 4 days now.
You do a different ditty. I'm practicing on my loose. Shut up.
Oh.
Get it, you're a liar, and we get it.
It was funny the first time.
Okay, day 4. I just had to get a progress update.
Shane is still just so into it. Keep the haters out.
I got a 20, but I rolled a 1 on my D8. So I got a 26.
I got an 18.
Okay. Edson.
Not looking good this time. That'll be an 11.
Dang.
Getting the bad rolls out now.
Yeah, you know, maybe Brock would, you know, switch things up. He'd sing a couple of low-key verses. He can't be too rambunctious and loud and right now because we're still on the road, but he'll give you guys a little, like, one of the older songs. Well, he'll keep it quiet.
Okay. Day 5.
Come on. Nope. 14.
Nat 20.
Hey.
Yes. I got a 23.
What'd you guys get on your D8s?
I didn't even roll the D8.
Boom, boom.
He's like, fuck that. I don't need it.
Yes, you do.
I got a 4 as well.
Mark, are you taking a total number?
No, it's actually, basically, it's the success. So it's essentially, like, it just depends on...
Oh, I see, so you have a number. And then you're checking off every time that their numbers get past your benchmark.
Okay. Exactly. And it's a nice little chart. And surprisingly, I made the chart on the fly, and it kind of worked out really well. That might be the old mathematician still in me. Okay, day 6. You guys are actually... pretty close.
Come on. 15.
17 plus 5 is a
22. That's it.
There we go, 21.
Okay, that is... Alright, so on day 6, I will get back to that in just a moment. So keep in mind, guys, obviously, each time you guys did this, we had to use, like, regents and stuff, so in total costs, required money, but it's basically 450 gold total is what you guys spent, but the hide plus one is finished.
That is awesome. Edson, I have 240 gold.
Mm-hmm. I got 95. Oh yeah, I haven't rolled my D100 yet to see how to do that live. Here, I'll do it with the camera on. So, nice. So like, hey, I got 100. Hey, I got 400 gold, boy!
Yeah. Your dad has actually a lot of gold, because that hasn't needed to spend that much money.
Do you actually have a D100?
Yeah, it's this.
Okay. So, Mark, how much do we need to get to gold wise?
450.
Okay, we're at 335.
Got 20. Nice.
Cool. And then Ed, I think that will now put your grand total to 420. Beautiful. Life is good,
guys.
Okay, so I think I should be able to go to Kilmar's page.
Wait, Mark, my gold is still in here. It never got deleted. It's 568.
Oh, okay. Then,
well, hell.
I honestly wasn't sure, and last time I looked at it, for some reason, did not show the gold quantity.
Oh, okay.
Alright, so Kilmar, if you refresh your D&D page, you should have the high plus one on your inventory. You just need to equip it. And then to remind of the look-wise, it actually, what it makes me think of like Jon Snow when he is becoming a Night's Watch, and he has that cloak that has like the black feathers that go on it. Because yeah. This is kind of killed by a large creature that has like a magical being that has multicolored like feathers. It's kind of the same thing. It's really full of feathers on the top, and then kind of like pulls down with the hide kind of like on your sides.
Cool.
Keep in mind, Tom, though, then your robe of contingency will basically no longer be able to be worn.
Correct.
Robes go over, right? Robes go over armor?
I mean, in a sense, but this particular one, a robe of contingency would be armor, essentially.
Yeah.
Okay.
So my robe of contingency, once per day, I can cast the spell Shield. Or I can teleport 15 feet away to a spot that I can see.
It's pretty dope.
Yeah, and you can do it as a reaction.
Mind if I borrow that? That shield would come in handy. Yeah, I'll look at all you guys and say, hey, I really appreciate this, and your good deeds will see good fortune in your future from me. We are now a team. This is now my family. You know, we're going to be doing this and traveling for a while together, so we're going to fight and we're going to survive together, and whatever we see in our future, we'll tackle this. And I kind of like open up my arms for like, you know, kind of like, get in here, guys.
Brock starts playing Kumbaya.
Dun, nice. Dun, 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 dun. I'll say I got this cool robe now that I got, you know, my armor that you guys graciously helped me build. I'll toss it to you.
And I'd like to put on that robe.
So it should be fine. I'm looking at D&D Beyond forums, and people are basically saying that, like, robes are counted as wondrous items, so they're kind of like basically like bracers. So in a sense, essentially, you should be able to wear them because it's not counted as armor.
Nice.
They have a robe on under his armor now. True paladin now. Yeah. Now it looks like you're wearing a dress. True paladin.
yes, just like World of Warcraft paladins with their
underneath the armor coming out in the back underneath the armor.
Yeah, yeah. I'm probably gonna throw a Bahamut into it eventually. Maybe when we're not with a bunch of cultists.
So my AC went up subsequently 2 points from that hide.
Nice.
Yeah.
So what's your AC total now?
17. As a druid.
Damn.
Yeah. I'm gonna do some studying and try and change up some spells to maybe help us out a little differently for the next coming days. I'll say, you know, we've been traveling with this group and you know, I think it's maybe time that we take the right steps to stop this, because from what we're learning, that it might
it might be worse where we end up. Correct me if I'm wrong, but the least amount of guys is better. So why wait till they have reinforcements? We may need to kind of expedite this a little bit.
Are you saying that you want to fight these cultists in this caravan right now?
I'm saying I want to bounce some ideas off everybody because we got to make this a team decision.
So. Well, that's the idea, right? I'm just trying to be perfectly clear. The idea is that ambush the cultists in this caravan.
The idea is to follow the cultists in this caravan and find out where they are gathering in the city. And that's where we're going to find the rest of the gold that was stolen throughout the country. And we're going to find the leaders. And if I'm remembering this correctly, there's quite a few of them, but we're on the tail of one of them. I have it right here. It is Resmir, the black half dragon. Right, Mark?
You are correct.
Yeah.
You witnessed seeing her when you saw Mondath bow before her inside the camp.
Yeah.
At Greenness.
So, if my our conversation with Mordecai back in Baldur's Gate told us that we're very close to her, and I believe this caravan is going to wherever she is, and we have to. It's like cutting the heads off many, many snakes. You know, we have to. There's more than just her. There's other. We have another name, Talus the White. And there's other ones that we just don't know the names of yet. But we have leads. We just have to find out where they are. Walking into the city and just searching is gonna take forever. It'd be better if we could follow the caravan and know exactly where we would be taking care of this.
I'd like to lift up my gauntleted hand, the one with the blue dragon scales. I'm like, and I want a complete set, guys.
Brock would definitely smile at that.
Okay, so we have an idea for infiltration that everybody seems to like. I like it too. How are we going to infiltrate them?
That is the.
Have all of them seen us in combat?
The people that. I mean, David would know. Basically, he has the record of which caravans in particular that he has his eyes on. They probably have seen all you guys at least fighting in some way, shape, or form.
Yes.
Yeah, you guys are able fighters. There's other guards, obviously, that are able fighters as well, so.
I just want to know where they're going. And then we figure out.
You're just gonna walk up and ask him?
I'm gonna follow him.
No, follow him.
Oh, so how many of them are there total? Do we know?
Each wagon.
And 12. Which people in particular, Dave? Do you suspect?
Yeah, yeah. Hold on.
I can give you the details of the wagon.
Yeah, I gotta pull up the names.
See.
All right.
Didn't they add troops at the last count up?
The halfling with big nose, bald hair, edgy guards. They have two carts.
They have two carts. They have a total of six guards.
And then
five guards and a driver. Let's be real.
Yeah. And the other one was the halfling. Amon.
That was three carts, seven guards.
So that's 13 guards. I think that was it. There was another ornate cart, a higher class with a human male driving, but I don't think that was part of this group. The one that I infiltrated and took the gems from, that was the big-nosed halflings one, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. So them in particular are is definitely who we're looking for. The other one that could be just a friend of theirs on the road, or it could be a separate wagon with more contraband in it. So.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but did they not add troops at the last town that we left?
They have security, yes. They had less originally. They only had two per wagon. So for the one that had the long nose, he added two more guards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they definitely are either expecting or suspecting something to happen, maybe. Or they added more contraband, which means they up their security.
You know, that or this road has just been like a fucking hell, right, guys? Like, maybe they're just like, we want more guards. Yeah, it can mean a lot of different things. We haven't had we've had the worst luck, but we haven't had the best luck either, have we?
But you know, we're all still here. We're all in great shape. All of our is relatively in good condition.
I glance over at Boyd, who's probably still bedridden from being crushed by that tree. Like, yeah, yeah, we're all in relatively good health.
You know, we grew his bones back.
He was very close to death.
Either way, when we get to town, I'm actually going to let you look at, he's going to look at Etson, and he looks at all three of you guys, Etson, Kalmar, Shane. I'm going to let you guys deal with the finishing up with Nuhar. All the payments and just closing that out, and I'm going to follow that wagon wherever it's going. So that's my plan when we get to the next, when we get to the end of the line.
Sounds like a good plan to me. I don't think I'd be able to get very far behind them without them noticing. I say as I clank, clank.
You know, yeah, I pat your chest, which makes a chink, chink. I know, buddy. I know. Don't
We're
worry.
Headed to water.
Waterdeep would essentially be the next large city hub. Darrowford is a stop on the road. And Etson, also, I did add Rogue Contingency to your inventory.
You added what?
Rogue Contingency. I added it to your inventory.
Cool. Thank you.
The description's under. It's very simple. It's just basically once per day.
Yep.
You can use it as a reaction.
Alrighty. I'd probably get that attuned to myself.
This one, I didn't actually set up for a tuning for this one, just because it's too difficult to do that when I make custom magic items, so don't worry about it.
Thank God, because you run out of tune spots quick.
Yeah.
Also, while we're sitting around the camp talking, I'm going to pull out my target bow, and I'm going to motion Shane, hey, and I toss it over to you.
Your bow, like
the hand crossbow.
A hand crossbow. I catch it.
I say, I think this is gonna do more in your hands than mine. For outside of RP, when you can use a bonus action to mark a target, you can add a D4 to hit and to damage.
From the crossbow?
No.
Oh, period.
It's kind of like they give it like Hunter's Mark, like in World of Warcraft.
As a what action is that?
Bonus.
Do that?
Bonus action.
It's a bonus action. Okay.
So if
so
you
have, I have to have it out.
Correct.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, no,
so
you're gonna let me.
Yeah, I'm not saying.
Like this?
If you go in twos,
Demon Hunter it.
You mark them with the hand crossbow, bonus action. And when you shoot with the pistol, you'll have a D4 extra to hit and to damage. You only have 3 marks a day. You only get 3.
Wait. Can I also use my snake shot one? Whatever? One that comes
I would say you just have to do a free action to drop. Probably just drop your crossbow.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm only, I'm only 5... I have guns away from being the gloctopus. I'm away. Almost halfway. Sweet. That's great. Do you have a holster for it?
No, it's just a clip. I clip it to the side of my belt. It's not really a holster.
On the side of my belt?
Yeah.
Does it work the same way for me, Mark?
Basically, it's also like a hand crossbow, so usually the bow part of it you can fold in. So if you wanted to make a holster, you can make a holster, or you can clip it onto your hip.
Yeah, Mark, can you send the target bow over to Tom's page?
Yeah, I should be able to.
And then arrows and quiver.
Yeah, I think I have. I don't use it very often, so I think I have like 20 arrows for it.
That's fine. It'd be something that I need.
Very rarely, like when we're trying to be quiet, you could use it.
We're still in the forested area, right, Mark? I just want to wander through looking for timber that might be good for arrow shafts. Just picking up sticks, basically. Picking up sticks.
Yeah, sounds good. Yeah, just give me a survival check.
Okay, tomorrow. Unless you want me to do it now.
Now.
You can just do it now. Because we're trying to expedite this travel portion of it.
What's my survival? 15.
15? Yeah, you successfully can find a couple of sticks that are very useful that you can kind of carve out and make bolts out of them. The only thing is that you would have is just they'd be like wooden tips instead of having like metal tips that you would want
to
have.
Right. And then once I get to the forge, I'd have to get metal tips.
Yeah, you can just make metal tips out of it. I would say that you have like a total, let's say, 15 unfinished bolts.
Okay, and then that's right. I don't need arrow fletching, do I? I don't need the feathers on the back because it's a crossbow, right?
It's also pretty short range for the hand crossbow, if I remember right.
It's 30 feet. 30 mm-hmm. feet, 60 with disadvantage.
Okay. Anything else maintenance wise, or are you guys done with that conversation?
I think that's it.
Okay, so when you guys were traveling, actually, on the sixth day, you guys can, on the sixth day in the morning, you guys can actually see Daggerford in the distance. You guys can also hear the rushing of the river. This is a very big river. This is a pretty wide river. So you guys can hear it from the day's travel out that you guys were there. While you guys are traveling, you guys are starting to move away from the actual forest, and you guys are having a little bit more of a hilly terrain, kind of heading towards the river part of it. You guys notice, because you guys are out near the front, you guys have Lesfrendo always in the front of the caravan. You notice, which he rarely does, you see actually his carts kind of veer off the road and a little bit on the rougher path, and kind of veers around something. As you guys are approaching, what's everyone's passive perception?
15?
11?
14?
16?
Shane and Brock, you guys both notice, especially with Brock with your advantage point, you guys see that there is a human head in the middle of the road.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, and as you guys are getting a little bit closer to it, you guys actually do notice that it looks like it's a person buried in the ground. He is unconscious, but it looks like he is still breathing, and he has, looks like writing on his forehead, Oathbreaker.
Oh,
he's in pretty bad shape. It looks like he's been there for a couple days.
I'm gonna walk over and I'm gonna call. Hey, Edson, come here.
What's up?
I'm gonna squat down and I'm gonna poke the guy in his forehead.
You poke him in the forehead and like his eyes kind of start to open a little bit. You can see that his lips and his face is really chapped and like burned from the sun, as well as it's like kind of chapped from just all the cold weather. It looks over and you slightly hear water.
I take out my water skin and I just dump some of it on his head, not really aiming.
And he's trying to look up and you can see that like he's barely able to open his eyes.
As Edson walks over, I point to the Oathbreaker on his forehead.
I see that and immediately just kind of like look kind of with a little disdain towards him.
Do you think he deserves this?
Well, deserves to die out here? No one deserves to suffer, but being an Oathbreaker, I don't know.
And you hear you guys are talking.
No. Help.
What oath did you break?
He looks up and he's like, I was supposed to. Can I just get some more water, please?
I dumped some more water. Okay.
Would Kelmar see this by now?
Yeah. You see both of them kind of pull up. You guys see Nuhar kind of pull his cart off to the side as other caravans continue to walk forward as you're talking to this gentleman.
So if Kemlar hears him asking for water, he's going to definitely give it to him and you know, kind of like put his hand behind his head, you know, seeing this man fully buried with just his head above, you know, he's clearly not a threat and he's going to, you know, feed him water and say, oh my God, what happened? And then look at the two, Edson and Shane.
And he drinks a little water. He coughs a little bit as he's drinking it.
I pointed his forehead and I go, Oathbreaker.
he looks up and I was supposed to be married to a lady, but unfortunately I didn't realize that her father and brother are part of a bandit group. I didn't want to be part of a thieves guild or anything like that. So I broke the promise that I was to marry her.
I don't know the customs of this land, and it appears being an oathbreaker is pretty bad. So you in fact broke an oath?
I did promise to marry her, but I did not realize what came with the marriage proposal.
I get it.
I check on this guy.
Yeah, give me a medicine check.
No, insight.
Oh, insight. Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Nice. 15 plus 4, 19.
You're not sure if it's because of how badly he's in shape or maybe it's just how his mannerisms are. It doesn't seem like he's telling the entire truth. It also can be that he may be dehydrated and just kind of loopy from the lack of food and water and being buried in the rain.
Oh, I know how to handle this with an Oathbreaker. I cast Zone of Truth.
Nice.
Okay.
Considering he's buried, he can't get out of it.
Does he do anything like
wisdom?
How does this cast it?
Let's see.
I just need to read the exact words again because that
it's verbal and semantic. So I basically draw like a symbol of Bahamut in the air and form Zone of Truth bubble.
Yeah. Okay.
And it's just like a Bahamut giving two thumbs up with a smile.
Nice.
A creature that enters the area for the first time on its turn, blah, 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 has a charisma saving throw. On failed save, they cannot speak deliberate lies in the ingredients.
Do it.
And then you know whether the creature succeeds or fails. He fails with a 7. and then you know that he now can only tell the truth. And he kind of looks around, and he's like, oh, God. Hey, lads, could you unbury me, please?
We'll help you out. What happened?
What oath did you break?
Yeah.
And he pauses for a second. He's like trying to like he's trying to say something, but he's like, what did you do to me?
I mean, so you couldn't lie a shit.
We want to help you, friend. But if you're not truthful to us, we can't give you just help. We have to know what happened.
If you're a shitlord, we're not taking you out of the hole.
I'll look at Edson and be like, yes, in that term, don't be a shithole.
He looks over and looks at Kelmar and he's like, oh God, if this is how you treat your friends, I don't want to be your enemy. And he kind of looks around and he's like, if you come closer, I prefer not to let anyone else hear.
We're close enough.
And he looks around and he's like, as the signs of follow some people with stolen gold down the river. I was supposed to follow them, and when I was relaying information to one of my compatriots, they unfortunately found me, and they decided that they let the grace of God deliver my punishment. Have you lads heard of Cult of the Dragon?
Brock sits Maybe. Up from the cart.
Maybe.
Okay, shut Maybe. Him up. Shut him up.
I hear all kinds of cult names going around.
Shut him up.
Why?
Shut him up.
And like, will you put his hand over? Are you like putting his hand over his mouth because he's gonna keep talking otherwise?
Yeah. Like, okay, buddy. just close your mouth. I turn and look at Edson as I. We need to get him out. We need to get him out of here.
All right. But before we take him out, what oath did you break?
He looks at you sideways with a Brock hat on his mouth.
Brock, just let him say this part before I let him out.
I thought he already did this. Brock removes his hand.
He looks over. I broke no oath, my man. He put that on my head so that people wouldn't
I put it back over.
From my head in the ground.
Yeah, ooh. I put my hand back over. Okay, that's it. Well, like, and
he is.
Come on.
He is in the zone of truth. So okay, I start digging.
So yeah, to dig it out, basically with two people it would take quite a while. But if all four of you guys work together, you guys can get him out in probably less than an hour. You guys have to refill the hole after you guys dig him out.
Tommy, do you have mold earth?
I don't.
Ah, damn.
No.
Yeah. Either way, guys. Basically, all this does is just put your put you and Newhar basically wagon basically in the back essentially the caravan as everyone else continues to walk past, seeing Oathbreaker upon someone's forehead.
Right.
Yeah. As soon as we pull him out,
So as you're digging, sorry.
Okay.
As you guys are digging and you're kind of like starting to get a little bit deeper, and he's got like his hands now, he's starting to help you guys get it out. You guys can see that his body is bruised, it's cut, it's basically beat up. And then Brock, you notice a tattoo on the back of his right shoulder that has a crescent moon with a harp on it.
I will pull out my pipe. I would stop digging, you know. Like, look like I'm taking a second to like wipe the sweat from my brow, kind of get some water, and I'll pull out my pipe and I'm gonna send him a message saying, harpsters should always have a friend nearby.
He like is startled from it for a second, and he's like,
if he looks around and if he makes eye contact with me, I give him a wink.
And he like in his mind says, a harper is always nearby.
And Brock nods like he's enjoying his pipe, puts it away, and continues helping him out of the hole.
Yeah, so as you guys are digging it out of the hole, Newhar kind of gives you guys a side look, but you guys have done obviously some strange things before.
Actually,
he sees Oathbreaker upon his forehead still. He's pretty much, he has nothing on him except the loincloth. It is cold right now. You guys are in the northern section of Faerun, so it is chilly, he is shaking, and he is really beat up.
Yeah, so I'm gonna pull him out, and then I'm gonna look at his forehead and I'm gonna say, well, hopefully we'll be able to do something about that, because obviously, you know, this isn't who you are.
And I'd so like, I'd like lesser restoration at forehead.
Yeah.
Restoration helps him out a little bit. Kelmar, can you give me a medicine check?
So what, does it just say oath now?
No, you guys use a little bit of water in a rag and you can wipe it off.
Okay, it's 24. Not carved into his forehead.
Yeah, no, it's not like carved. Hell no. Oh, Jesus, that would have been horrible. What's 24. Up? 24? You can tell this guy's dehydrated and probably hasn't eaten food in about 3 to 4 days.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I was gonna lesser restoration, cure wounds, try and get him back up, like give him some food that I had, like.
Yeah, I got after you guys do all that, he's like, he looks over and he's like, oh, really appreciate you lads pulling me out of the middle of that hole. Do you guys have any rags or clothes that I could cover myself with? And he's like shitting in there.
Brock's like, I only have gnome-sized clothes. Sorry.
You guys probably have blankets and stuff, like from your like knapsacks and stuff. So
yeah,
I actually have commoner's clothes on me.
There you go. And you, yeah, you can give him commoner's clothes. That should fit him fine.
Okay.
Hey, friend. Friend, what do they call you?
Name's Carlon.
Carlon.
Down to earth.
Name's Carlon.
Very nice to meet you. I'm Kelmar.
Appreciate it, Kelmar. I appreciate your friends helping me out here.
Where are you headed? Are you wanna roll with us for a little while till we get to the next town?
next town should be, you guys are heading north, right?
Yep.
Daggerford will be, Daggerford will be the next city. I could, I know a few people there. They could help me out. I would appreciate any help you guys can have. You guys have helped me more than I could pay back.
Absolutely. It's, the least we could do after hearing your plight of being wronged by those bandits.
And he like kind of nudges Brock. He's like, exactly. That was bad.
Hey, thanks everyone for listening. Really appreciate everyone that is listening to our podcast. We are still young in this, and we are slowly growing through our growing pains. But we would appreciate if any kind of recommendations as well as suggestions to have other friends and family check out our podcast if you guys enjoyed it. And we'll see you guys next week.